So today I am speaking with Jennifer Hayden, who is the Director of Marketing and PR at the National Museum of Nuclear Science and History in New Mexico. Welcome, Jennifer.
Thank you.
So the National Museum of Nuclear Science and History has an important role to play in educating people on not only the history of nuclear energy in the United States, but also in facilitating youth STEM education and highlighting research on peaceful uses of nuclear energy.
Yes.
Could you describe the origins and work of the museum and your role in it?
Absolutely. So the National Museum of Nuclear Science and History was established in 1969. We were established by the Department of Energy, really with the mission that was mostly focusing on telling the story of nuclear weapons. And that was in 1969. As the years moved on, our mission actually started evolving. We started picking up other areas instead of just nuclear defense. We started talking about nuclear medicine, nuclear energy, really talking about the history and the science. When 9/11 happened, we had to close our doors permanently because we were located on Kirtland Air Force Base. And it was due to heightened security measures that we had to close. So we scrambled a little bit and we were able to relocate to a tourism destination here in Albuquerque, which is Old Town. We didn't have the space or the capability to show all of our collections because we have airplanes, we have military vehicles, we do have nuclear weapons, and then also the different types of science for nuclear as well. So we were there for about 7 years and we relocated. We were able to have a capital campaign and we built our permanent location. We have been for about 11 years. We're located near the base in Albuquerque, New Mexico. But with this, we have a 9-acre outdoor exhibit area where we show all of our large artifacts, such as our H-29 Super Fortress and other airplanes. And we have a large facility that helps us tell the story of the atomic. So from early uses such as the Manhattan Project, Cold War, to today's peaceful uses of nuclear technology.
Great. So based on what you're saying, I'd imagine that a lot of people who visit the museum are interested in the history of Los Alamos and the creation of the atomic bomb. But yes. As you were saying, and as I took a look at the website of the museum, as well as that of Los Alamos National Lab, which of course is still a very active lab in New Mexico, I noticed that both have a lot of content celebrating uses of nuclear energy totally unrelated to weapons, defense, or national security.
Yes.
For example, Los Alamos has a microsite for the genetic understanding of COVID-19 and content related to safe and renewable nuclear fuels, environmental stewardship, and waste isolation.
Yes.
The museum's website offers similar exhibits related to nuclear medicine, nanoscience, and safe nuclear waste transportation.
Yes.
It sounds like some of these themes evolved over time since the museum was established in 1969. But can you speak a little bit to the decision to expand the museum's focus beyond traditional atomic history and warfare?
Absolutely. So our museum is unique. There's really no other museum like ours in the nation or possibly worldwide that we know about. We are a Smithsonian-affiliated, congressionally chartered museum. We're also nationally accredited through the American Alliance of Museums, which is a very high accreditation for the museum industry. With that, the reason that we are so unique is because we do capture everything. It was through our leadership, which was moved from the Department of Energy, and throughout the years, it actually came upon a person who has been our leader for about 23 years now, that he comes from a museum background. And so under his leadership, we started really embracing all of the different aspects because we know how important both the science and the history of the atomic age really are. So all of those coming together, we had moved away from the Department of Energy, and now we're run by a foundation. So our museum, the National Museum of Nuclear Science and History, is a nonprofit entity. We're a 501c3. We are not run by the government, federal, city, anything like that. We are standalone. So with that, we were able to determine with our curatorial staff, we have development, we have all of these different departments in the museum, that we wanted to to focus on a mission that really focused on all aspects of nuclear, whether that was defense and weapons, such as the first atomic bomb testing, which was actually here in New Mexico, at White Sands, New Mexico, all the way up to the peaceful uses as far as nuclear energy and medicine. So we want the broad gamut, and we had incorporated that into our museum's mission.
Okay, so when people visit the museum, what's one thing that they find most surprising about the experience or the exhibits?
I guess, you know, that depends on the person, in all honesty. I guess our visitors really are different, depending on, it's a variety of demographics. As a museum, we're an informal education center, and we try to be inclusive as possible. So we provide a diverse array of knowledge to really invite everybody of all backgrounds, all ages, into our museum. So it depends. I mean, thinking about like a TripAdvisor, you know, different things that people might leave on our website saying, oh, great, that was an awesome time. Oftentimes they say, that was really cool. As far as, I didn't know you would have airplanes, but then I thought, of course you would. You know, all of ours are relevant to our mission, so they're somehow related to the atomic age. Our B-29 Super Fortress, our 52 Strata Fortress. We have jets. We have a nuclear submarine sail in our heritage park. So a lot of people think, wow, you know, the objects, the artifacts that you have are amazing. Mm-hmm. Some people do come in with the preconceived notion that we're a bomb museum. And I will tell you, we do have just collection of unclassified nuclear weapons in the world. Currently, only one of them are on display. We're working to create a visible storage unit called the Museum Artifact Center, where we'd be able to bring them in and show people. But we're more than a bomb museum. And when people come in, whether it's families and they want their kids to do hands-on science activities, our Little Owl's Lab, which is Albert Einstein, or they bring their programs or summer camps, see that nuclear is not quite as scary as what once people thought it was. A lot of people think it's just weapons automatically, or they think it's energy. I've found my time at the museum that it kind of depends on the person. If they're located in an area of the United States where most of their energy, electricity, comes from nuclear power, and when you ask them, what do you hear nuclear, they say, well, I think my light's going on. I think about electricity. But if you ask someone, maybe say in New Mexico, where it's not as prevalent as nuclear energy, they do think weapons, explosions, World War II. So it just kind of depends on who we're talking to.
So that's sort of a great segue into another question I wanted to ask. It sounds like you have really great exhibitions about the atomic bomb, and that seems to be what a lot of people think of in New Mexico when they think of nuclear energy. But you also have a lot of resources related to Nuclear Science Week. Could you talk a bit about your partnership with Nuclear Science Week and some of the educational outreach the museum conducts?
Absolutely. We actually established Nuclear Science Week. It was created by my executive director right when I began at the museum 11 years ago. So we started that as a way that we could reach out to the community and really celebrate the men and women who work in nuclear science every day. So we wanted to get nuclear and that celebration aspect out to the world. So we started small, and we partnered with a variety of different nuclear energy partners, also people in the nuclear medicine field, and then some of the laboratories as well. And so it's grown over the 11 years, to where our museum, we still are in charge of communications. I run the website. We do all of those things. And it seems kind of, depending on the year, we focus on different aspects. We have partnered very heavily with Palo Verde Generating Station in Arizona. And through that, last year we had our largest Nuclear Science Week big event that we've ever had, and that was in Washington, D.C. And we did focus on many different aspects of nuclear, but nuclear energy is such an important part of our community, of our world. And so we really wanted to get that out and again, really celebrate nuclear and the men and women who work in it every single day.
That's fascinating. I've known about the programming for Nuclear Science Week for a while, but I had no idea that it was actually at the museum. So thank you for sharing that.
Absolutely. We go every year, so you're kind of inundated with museum people a little bit when you go to some of the big events. Great. It's become nationwide. It's actually become worldwide. Last time I looked, I believe we were in 11 different countries, and the celebrations can range from large scales, such as the one in DC last year, to small, maybe organizations. Maybe it's a chapter of the American Nuclear Society in Japan somewhere, and they're actually putting something on because it's people who are there with ANS, or it's NAYGN or Women in Nuclear. Mm-hmm. So it can be very small. It could be within the companies themselves celebrating Nuclear Science Week, or it could be just this huge event, depending on how they want to do it.
Great. So I noticed you mentioned women in nuclear, which is something we like to focus on at the Nuclear Energy and National Security Coalition. So on your website, you have a joint oral history project with the Atomic Heritage Foundation and the Los Alamos Historical Society that highlights the men and women of the Manhattan Project, which is interesting. I had no idea how many women were involved in the Manhattan Project. But could you talk a bit about your programming?
You broke up just a little bit at the end part. Talk about our programming that was what? I'm sorry.
Related to women in the nuclear industry.
Okay. Well, women in nuclear, that's important to me. I'm actually a member. I have been for many years. This is something that we were able to partner with the Atomic Heritage Foundation, run by Cynthia Kelly from Washington, D.C. We partnered with her in July of 2019. So the museum, we're also in charge of those websites, from Manhattan Project Voices to AtomicHeritageFoundation.org. And this, there are so many different aspects of this that we are, when I say we, I'm talking about my museum team, that we're trying to really pull it out as much as possible and showcase, specifically because it's a little bit more of kind of a quiet, not as well-known fact that so many women were involved. So this is something that we're hoping to bring out to our exhibitions at the museum in a variety of ways. We try to do programs even in our initiatives such as our summer camps or our Science is Everywhere camp that we hold during the Albuquerque Public School break schedules. And some of those programs have been in the past things such as STEMinists. So it focuses, even though we welcome children of all ages, backgrounds, it could be boys and girls, we talk very heavily about the women who really made a difference in science, technology, engineering, mathematics, and also within the nuclear industry. I actually have two little boys myself, and I was gonna put them in this summer, but things have changed a little bit due to COVID-19. So we're just kind of making sure everything's really working the way it should as a museum. But we try to represent that in as many ways as possible. And as a nonprofit museum, it's a little bit slower process. We have to raise the money in order to update our exhibitions, our websites, things like that. But it is something, as the communications director, it's near and dear to my heart to really showcase the women who've made a difference. Absolutely.
So do your sons consider themselves STEMinists, even if they weren't able to attend the camp this summer?
You know what? I don't know. I haven't asked. They're little. They are 6 and 8 years old. But they are so proud that their mom works at the nuclear museum. When they were little bitty, my oldest used to say, "Oh, my mom worked at the airplane store." I said, "Well, that's not, not quite it." But I think they would love it no matter what, for sure.
Yeah, that's great. So my final question for you is about the current state of affairs. Obviously, we're living in unprecedented times with COVID-19. So could you explain a little bit how the museum has continued with their programming, or how programming has changed as a result of the coronavirus pandemic?
Absolutely. like really all of the organizations, entities, and companies in Albuquerque and throughout New Mexico, we did have to close our doors. So that was, gosh, it's been a while. I think it was the end of March where we did have to close our doors to visitors. Our team has been working diligently behind the scenes, and it, a little bit of it was one step forward, two steps back, because we didn't know, let's continue planning for our spring break camp, and that didn't happen. Let's continue planning for our summer camp, and that we've had to cancel at least the beginning part of it. We're not sure how it will look throughout the entire summer, but we will see. Mm-hmm. We have been able to really take the opportunity to reach out as far as outreach. We have amped up our YouTube channel, and we have a lot of at-home science experiments that you can do. STEM is huge with us. I actually go on a local TV station every other week to do science experiments that kids and families can do at home. So we've continued doing things like that. We've really promoted atomicheritage.org as far as all of the different, I think it's 558, I could be wrong on the number, it's been a while, but all of the interviews of the women and men family members who had worked during the Manhattan Project. So those are interviews of people who will never really be able to experience something like that again, hopefully. And then it's just a lot of our different, us trying to bring the museum out to people. We're hoping to open our doors probably at a limited capacity here in a few weeks, depending on what our governor says. And from then on, we'll just open and be a safe place, really, especially with the 9-acre outdoor exhibit area with airplanes, where people can safely social distance and but still get kind of a unique and interesting and fun learning experience for sure.
Well, it sounds like you've really kept pace, even though things have changed dramatically. Well, thank you so much for speaking with me. I really appreciate it. And hopefully some listeners will go out and, if they physically visit the exhibits, at least check out some of the YouTube videos and science experiments you're putting out.
Yes, we're actually working right now on launching our new website. That was something I've been working on for a year, and well, goodness, it's happening at kind of an opportune time, so we'll have even more information out. But yes, this was lovely. Thank you so much. And definitely, we're looking forward to welcoming as many guests to visit the museum when we open.
All right. Thanks so much.
Bye. Thank you.